Good morning. Is that working? It is. Very good. It's lovely to be back with you. As part of May, I get a privilege of actually travelling around different churches and speaking about the work of Baptist Mission Australia. So it's nice to be back here on home turf. And I do feel a little bit naked not being behind a piano or something like I used to do here years ago. Yeah, nice to be here to be able to share with you. So those of you who don't know, my role with Baptist Mission Australia at the moment is overseeing all of our projects and our platforms across Asia and Africa. So it's really nice that you've chosen some very special projects. These are ones that are special to me that I've actually had my own involvement in. So thank you for being able to partner with us with these projects for 2022. For those of you who don't know, the involvement of my family with Baptist Mission Australia goes back to 2010 and a little bit before, and we served with what was Global Interaction in Southeast Asia between 2010 and 2018. And since that time, I've been on the leadership team at our national office here in Australia. But of course, Mitcham's partnership with Baptist Mission Australia goes way back before my time, and many of you have been a significant part of that partnership over many years now. I'm a bit of a history buff, and in our office we've got our archives which go back a long time. Baptist Mission Australia and its other brandings over the years goes back 140 years. And I came across a couple of years ago some promotional material from the year 1920. And they were announcing that, we're going to get Australian churches to have a mission day in May, where all of the Australian churches would come together and consider what mission is in the Australian and the global context. And that was the origins of May Mission Month. So it's now 102 years old that Australian churches have actually been practicing getting together and considering May Mission Month. Let's pray as we consider God's word to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to be able to join you in your mission. We thank you that you've equipped us, all of us. You've given us your giftings, you've given us your power, you've given us your guidance. And as we consider these things this morning, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move in us to challenge us to be part of that mission in a unique way. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I get to travel around a little, one of the things that people often observe to me is that, oh, what you guys do overseas, we should be doing here. And I'd like to affirm that with you, that you are, and you are called to as well. And we haven't shown it this morning, but the video that you might have seen over the last couple of weeks called Across the Street, it reminds us that we're all called and we're all sent to participate in God's mission. And once we deal with the cultural implications of what that looks like overseas, it's not a lot different to what we all do here. So in the video, if you can remember seeing it, we looked at three different players. There was Liz, who's an intercultural worker in Thailand, Jan, who is a supporter here in Australia, and Danny, who's a university student up the road here at Swinburne. They live in different contexts, and they're in different stages of life, but they're all followers of Jesus who are called and are following him across the street in their different locations. Because that's how Jesus lived when he was here on earth. He went out of his way to embody the good news and meet people where they were. In the film, we see Liz doing this by building relationships with sellers at the market with her tuk-tuk driver. And then getting her hands dirty to help a friend in her farm. Jan crosses the street by listening to and praying with her friend and then volunteering to teach English at her local church. And Danny, the university student, shares love through offering hospitality to his friend at uni and inviting him, inviting others to gather with him. So in ordinary but in transformative ways, we have Liz in Thailand, Jan in the suburbs, and Danny at his university campus crossing the street with the hope of Jesus. They're all sent. That sounds easy, but you know as well as I do, it's not very easy, is it? Those of us with busy lives, we find it hard to prioritise the time and find energy to devote to those sorts of things. And when we do find courage and devote the time and energy to a missional opportunity, it's often messy. There's also the pitfall of doing things in our own strength sometimes, isn't there? Have you ever heard that expression before? Doing things in our own strength? What does that mean? Have you ever tried to do something on your own and got into trouble? I have. I want to tell you about an experience I had only 6 weeks ago. I was visiting our team on the Silk Road, and one of my colleagues, Ben, is a keen cyclist, and I had some gear with me, and I thought it'd be a great opportunity to go out for a ride together. There I am, up on the Silk Road on a plateau. It was rather cold, it was about 0 degrees, but I took the right clothing, and Ben had a bike that I could borrow. I'd just gone there from Thailand where it was 40 degrees, so it was a bit of a shock to the body, and yeah, the Silk Road is unlike anywhere else I've ever been. So we took off on our ride, and Ben's chain broke, and he said, oh look, maybe we should just give up on this and I'll take you for a drive. And I said, look, it's taken me 15 minutes to get all this gear on, I've got the bike, I'm in this beautiful place, just tell me where to go and I'll find my own way. So I went off on my own in a strange country, unfamiliar bike, freezing temperature, no phone, no language. What could go wrong? It was fantastic. About 10 kilometres into the ride, a dog ran onto the road. And I had this split second to think, what should I do here? And I thought, I'll put a bit of power down, I'll be all right. So as I passed the dog lurches up and starts running after me and is joined by a second dog. They're both rather large. And I knew that I'm going to have to really motor out of here to get out of this. I felt I was in trouble. So for about 300 or 400 metres, I had a dog on my right heel, a dog on my left heel. I was yelling at it, yelling at them, and they were really, really angry. And I prayed out loud to God, God, you're going to have to get me out of this. So about 300 or 400 metres later, I crossed a bridge and I looked down and the dogs were gone. Thank goodness. Thank God. The picture here, next slide, you see that little bump on the top there? So this is off my watch, it's taking my heart rate. So the white line that you can see close to the top there, that's I think that's 210 beats per minute minus my age. That's about where you know that you're in the zone. But you can see about halfway along the ride there where those dogs came out, there was a physical reaction. I was alone and I was in trouble. I tell you that story to say that that's not what God intends. God doesn't want us to be alone in our missional work. Our reading this morning is from John chapter 10. And it reminds us that we are sent by Jesus as he was sent by the Father. If you have your Bible or device, or you can actually look on the screen, we're going to take a look at John 20. This is when Jesus was with his disciples following the resurrection and before his ascension. So John 20, starting at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let's contemplate that again. As the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sends us. If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, you're also sent. But he doesn't leave us to our own devices. The Holy Spirit is promised to us as foreshadowed by John the Baptist, as recorded in Matthew 3. So Matthew 3, we're going to pick up at verse 7. Next slide, Matthew 3. There we are. And this was his, John the Baptist's, message. "After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of the sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, with whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." So Matthew's pointing out that the Holy Spirit was given to Jesus is now given to us. Jesus himself is recorded telling his disciples to expect the coming of the Spirit as he ascends to heaven in Acts chapter 1. We're going to take a look at that as well. Acts chapter 1 on the next slide. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the Holy Spirit gives us power. What else do we get with the Holy Spirit? There's a whole sermon series here. We haven't got time this morning to look at all of that too deeply, but let's take a quick look. Let's look at John chapter 14, verse 26, where Jesus tells his disciples, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you." So the Holy Spirit helps us, teaches us, reminds us. 1 Corinthians 12 is the gifts of the Spirit. And you can see here, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." The gifts of the Spirit. These are things that God has given us to join him in his mission. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us of the transformative nature of the Spirit, making us more Christ-like. Let's read it. "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we get power, we get discernment, we get wisdom, we get the mind of Christ as we work with God in his mission. Galatians 5 tells us of the fruits of the Spirit. Let's take a quick look, reading it from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So much we get from the Holy Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So this incomplete list, as long as it is, of all the things we get from the Holy Spirit includes things like power, helping, teaching, reminding, transforming, and we get the gifts of the Spirit. Did you notice that following the list of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, Paul compels us to live by and keep in step with the Spirit? Whilst gifted to us, there is something that we need to do to keep in step with the Spirit. I think sometimes we get a little confused that we have to invite or summon the Holy Spirit to join us. I think it's actually the reverse when we read Scripture. God's Holy Spirit has already been given. It's the constant. We're the ones who move in and out of being in step with the Spirit. So God's Spirit is given to us, dwelling with us who follow Jesus here and now. So God invites us to join him in his mission, but we do need to keep in step with the Spirit. We need to pray for a greater understanding and the leading of the Spirit. That way, we avoid doing things in our own strength. All of us are sent into mission like Jesus. It's not easy. It's not something that's designed to be done on our own, but with the power, equipping, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Some of you will remember a colleague of mine. He's spoken here before, Jeff, who spoke here a year ago. And Jeff, in our office, often sends around missiological thought, and he's a big reader, and he sends around quotes that he has enjoyed from some of his favourite theologians. Last week, he sent around a quote from a young theologian called Amos Young, who's a Malaysian-American theologian. And this quote really captures what I've been trying to talk about this morning. So Amos says this. Oh, it's not there. All right, you'll have to listen to me. No, there it is. Christian hospitality is empowered by the Spirit of the hospitable God. We have been graciously invited to participate in this divine hospitality and given many gifts, many tongues, many practices through which to meet, interact with, and perhaps bless religious others. Along the way, the spirit of hospitality will transform us precisely through the interreligious encounter into the image of Jesus, even as we hope and pray to the point of daring to believe that as guests and hosts, we can also be instruments of the hospitable God for the reconciliation, healing, and redemption of the world. That's very deep and very meaningful, but if I could capture everything I've been saying this morning into one paragraph, that would be it. As we join God in mission with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're joining God in his act of redemption of the whole world. So let's get practical for a minute. As I mentioned before, you're pledging to support Baptist Mission Australia in some projects. And there's one that I've been involved in that has really been impacted by the Spirit of God over the 12 months, and I want to share with you how that's come about. One of the new directions over the last couple of years for our strategic roadmap with Baptist Mission Australia has been to mobilise workers from outside of Australia, from across Asia, working in partnership with Baptist churches across the Asian region. Why has this come about? We recognise that God's mission is no longer dominated as it was in years past by churches in Western countries going into a developed world context. Now, there's a lot more people from developed countries going to other developed countries. It's what we call in mission circles polycentric mission, from everywhere to everywhere. If I can be crass just for a moment, it's not just white people going to brown people. That's what it used to be back in the day, but it's not like that anymore. So as part of this at Baptist Mission Australia, we've been asking ourselves, well, what does this mean for us? What is God calling us towards here? We toyed with the idea of setting up a hub somewhere in Asia where training could take place in partnership with other churches, where we could send teams from Asia to work in the parts of Asia where we're working. Then COVID arrived and our energy got distracted and was used elsewhere. At the same time, you might remember that there was a young family, R&B, and we talked about them before, and their young son, C, who had been serving in Central Asia with us in years past, but they had been called back to be the principal of a Bible college, this is R, in Mizoram, which is in northeast India. So at the time when they were here, they stood up here with me in 2019, we were going to send them back to Central Asia, but of course along came COVID and on top of that, getting visas to enter into that country was very, very difficult already. So they're based in Mizoram. They went down to Delhi and settled there because that was an easier place to organise visas to go away. Then COVID is already coming in, early 2020. And really through a work of the Spirit, R was able to assist Baptist Mission Australia come to terms with what would it look like for us to partner with churches in the Asian region to mobilise people towards working in cross-cultural work. So he wrote a paper through which we came to realise that we're not talking about a bricks and mortar centre where people would come and go. We felt that the Spirit was saying this needs to be a program where we actually partner with churches rather than expecting people to come to one centre. Then when the paper was done, we thought, well, who is going to do this? And this is the time where R&B were feeling that they just could not go to Central Asia. But yet, R had developed this piece of research for us. He was available. He was equipped. And ultimately, we realised that God is actually saying that this is the person whom you've given support to do something a little bit different to what we thought. And going back to Central Asia, but work across the Asian region. And as part of that, we've got our first training program that's going to be rolled out next month with one of the Baptist conventions within India who have expressed that they want to cross the road literally between where this community lives, and there's a strong Baptist community over the road to where there is a significant Muslim majority. And I think it's really exciting that this is going to become a model project for working with other Baptist churches across the Asian region to do something that is very new that we haven't done before. So our role at Baptist Mission Australia is really changing from one where we're sending and equipping churches to flourish to now working with those churches where we have been in years past to say, work with us in a missional context and reach your neighbours, cross the street, yourselves and with us. Isn't that great? And I'd like to thank you for being part of it, that even though back in 2019 when R&B stood up here, we thought that we were sending them Central Asia, God had other plans. And it's great that the Spirit is revealing His will for us in that. So again, I want to thank you for your partnership with Baptist Mission Australia this May Mission Month. I do want to challenge you, though, that you're not outsourcing responsibility for mission to us. You're doing it with us. You're doing it here in Mitcham, and you're also facilitating it for it to happen across Australia, across the world. And as followers of Jesus, you are sent, just as Jesus was sent, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you that your Spirit is here with us. Lord, we confess that sometimes when we try and do things in our own strength, that we are not doing things in step with your Spirit. But Father, we thank you that we do have the assurance that you are with us. We thank you that we can rely on your power. We thank you that we have the gift that your Spirit has bestowed upon us to be able to join you in your mission. And we thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.